Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 113, Miracle on 123rd Street, comes to you now.
Pete, this is an episode written by staff writer Andre Edmonds in his first writing credit, directed by Marco Siega, series producer and director of a whopping 6 episodes of this show.
It's amazing to think how much of this show Mr. Siega has been responsible for.
Yeah, Pete, it really is amazing. I mean, we podcast a fair amount of TV, and you really don't see people directing to this degree. I guess it helps that he's a producer on the show and not kind of going from this job to, oh, look, NCIS needs a director in 3 weeks and kind of job to job. But my goodness, Pete, one shy of half of these episodes are directed by Marco Siega.
And I think his shooting style and the look that he brings to the show has been so important in helping to create this world where we're telling these stories.
Absolutely, and it seems to be paying off. This is an episode that had a 0.9 rating and 8.23 million viewers, so Steady wins the race again with a very, very fine rating turned in there.
And just a scheduling update here, and this was confirmed for us via co-showrunner Stephen Lillian, that the show that God Friend and Me will be returning the week after the Grammys air. So that is episode 114 will air on Sunday, February 17th. So you're going to be taking about a month break. But when you consider how much of this show we've gotten in big chunks, we had the 2 episodes here. We had the big run in the fall and, hoping to run down that renewal there, Matt, when we come back.
As a freshman show, this kind of has to exist at the pleasure of the schedule, you know, something that suits the audience post-football, post 60 Minutes, something that needs to be flexible enough so when you have the Super Bowl and the Grammys and the this and the that, it kind of can get out of the way. So that's the way it is, Pete. Looking forward to its return on February 17th. But let's dial it back a month, looking ahead to January 17th. That's the return of Star Trek Discovery. So, Pete, this week we got Runaways wrapping up. We have season 2 of The Punisher starting this Friday. That hits Netflix on January 18th. And then our Discovery podcast on Saturday, which is when we'll be releasing that episode. So, busy times here.
Yes, not to mention you can listen to our Runaways Rundown podcast available for you. And all 4 of the short treks up, ready, on standby for you. But what do you say, Matt? Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Miles podcast listeners are up 13%, and Sister Allie's there to visit. There to comfort her brother about Nia having broken up with him, or rather, just to visit while her apartment is being fumigated. At work, Miles and Rakesh tiptoe into the office, recapping that Simon Hayes has bought the company. Rakesh got a new seat assignment, and the new brass wants to meet with him. At the church, Arthur Finer is having lunch with Trisha, who is a mom of 2 and sole owner of a music store. Maybe they could get together Sunday after services? That's a no from Arthur. Sundays are hard for him.
That night at Allie's bar, Kara wonders if maybe the bosses want to meet with the talented Rakesh, not the snooping one. Then the friends' suggestions start pouring in, 76 of them, just like the show was teasing all week via social media. An act break later, the Crackerjack team is trying to piece together how the 76 are connected. Kara quickly notices similar pictures posted, and Rakesh quickly texts the tech to determine that they all live in the same building. Miles and Kara are off in the A story to visit the building, while Rakesh rocks the meeting at work B story. Kara looks a little happy that Miles is single since, you know, she is too. They're going to pretend that they want to rent an apartment. William is the super in this building that is a real community, a building worth preserving.
At Identity Seal, Rakesh thinks the HR lady is a stooge of Steinman Hayes, but she's just offering him a promotion. Back at the building, Denise, whose father owns the building, says it has been sold and the new owners are kicking everyone out to build a hotel. You have 30 days to vacate. Oh man, it's like all 76 people need help. Denise says it's just business. Says it's to William, her brother. Dramatic reveal. He doesn't even talk to their father anymore. Miles and Kara can sympathize and help.
Back at Identity Seal, the new VP of something at Identity Seal wants to talk about a few security whoops-a-daisies, including a variety of incidents from past Godfriended Me adventures. Back with Miles and Kara, they question Denise about the future of the building. Couldn't the tenants do a co-op? It's easy for 76 people to buy a building in Manhattan, right? Upbeat montage of signatures being collected. Yes! But Denise has info. The building's been sold. No! At Ali's bar, Arthur is upset that Trisha would hang with him after services, but not come for the service.
Back at Miles' place, let's recap. They need to help all 76 people, but how? And why has the account liked the little red lighthouse? What's that? Back to Arthur. He's ready to see Trisha's farm, but does she understand that his vocation is a calling, not a job? She summarizes for us at home. Does she need to be a part of the church to move the relationship forward? He says yes. Back at Identity Seal, Terrence Holt is ready to talk to Rakesh. So he wasn't involved with the tech issues, so that's that. Rakesh clearly isn't talented enough to do that, but techity tech tech, he proves he is. And Holt is ready to bring a predictive analytics guy into a new Identity Seal product. Heck, he wants Rakesh to take the lead of the team.
At the Little Red Lighthouse, Kara explains the plot of the Little Red Lighthouse and the Great Gray Bridge. Progress doesn't mean that some things are insignificant, and how it applies to the plot of this episode. But hey, the lighthouse is a historic landmark due to the book. The book by Hildegard Swift. Swift! She lived in the building! Back with William, he bets his dad knew about Swift, hence the quick apartment renovation and building sale. They share the info with Denise, who says that it constitutes fraud, though Dad kept his name off the paperwork. Back in the building, William tells the tenants that he's let them down and nothing can be done. But Denise arrives ready to talk to her tenants. Someone has tipped off the buyers about the potential historic landmark status and a new buyer who won't evict anyone because she is the new owner.
Turns out Denise essentially blackmailed Dad about his concealment of Swift's past in the building, hence the happy ending. At Arthur's church, Trisha is there for services, ready for the next step. So that's a happy ending too. At Allie's bar, Miles reflects on his love for his sister, and she admits that she got into a fight with Dee, and now Allie's single too. The takeaway? Allie's moving in with Miles, so here's to strengthening her place in the story moving forward. Also on the move is Denise, who's moving back into the building.
At Miles and Allie's apartment, he's got a gift for Kara, the Little Red Lighthouse and the Great Gray Bridge, first edition. He's such a great, fake boyfriend. Knock, knock, Rakesh is at the door. You know, Rakesh Singh, head of mobile app design. His account skills have helped him too. Everyone sits on the couch eating ice cream. A happy family.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, let's talk matters of the heart here. When, not if, but when will Kara and Miles get together, those two crazy kids?
I think it's only a matter of time, but as the cast has spoken so much, it's got to feel earned. It can't just be, You're single. Do you? Yes, there you go. You move in together. I thought they might look to move them in together in this episode for the sake of the greater story. You know, the people within this building, but I'm glad they didn't take that route.
There really is such restraint when it comes to their story. I think that, you know, by episode 103, all right, we could tell that something was going to happen there. And to do the whole Eli thing, to bring in Miles' girlfriend, DJ Trek, now gone, it's really a sense that this is a show that wants to pace itself a certain way. That's something that we'll also talk about in our feedback portion. But first, Pete, aside from Arthur's relationship, why is everyone single lately? Is this an attempt to reshuffle the cast deck a little bit, start to set up Miles and Kara, inject Ali into account missions, etc.?
Well, thank goodness we're going to get some more of Jivica Leslie here, having moved in with her brother. I just wish it wasn't at the expense of her relationship. But if the character needs to grow, and, you know, as the triangle of the Finer family is concerned, she's clearly the least represented, least defined one. What do we know about her? She's gay. She was dating a woman. She's pursuing her degree in psychology. That's it. We know so much more about the male members of her family. So I look at this as an opportunity. Gotta wonder too if the actress who plays Dee was otherwise unavailable, if this was something outside of the page that may have complicated this story.
I think that when it comes to the character of Ali, I think the show has recognized that her inclusion has been basically, oh man, we need to meet up somewhere. Let's go to Ali's bar where we do exposition or we do a party. But what's her contribution? Not too much. And they've kind of rectified that by saying, no, yeah, Now we're going to start to have her play a different role in the show.
Yeah, as a regular, I mean, give her some more meat, obviously, from a story standpoint. And again, that idea of an arc, it would seem, as far as her growth is concerned, it was a logical place for her to go through a rough path with her her girlfriend.
What theories do you have, Pete?
What is up with the 76 number here when it comes to friend suggestions? Pretty interesting number. I think you could look at it in a number of ways, that we had such a massive number come all at once. And yes, it's very easily explained away. They are all of the tenants of this building that winds up being on the block. But should we read anything into the number? Spirit of 76, perhaps, Matt?
Pete, it's representative of 1776. It's a metaphor for America. All these separate parts coming together, you know, a house divided, and all that. But here they're not divided. They've come together as a super house, as a co-op. And yeah, it's a clear metaphor for America.
7 + 6, Matt.
That'd be 13.
What episode is this?
113. Oh, man.
There you go. I mean, there's a lot of numerology, and the more you look at it, you're just going to find common things. But I thought it was an interesting number. I mean, that we would jump from the scant number of suggestions or likes or whatever that we've had to this point to boom, 76. And like you mentioned, if only social media had kept their lid on that a little bit more, as far as, you know, the account does something different it hasn't done yet this week. What could it be? Blah, 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 blah. You know, just even Matt, who doesn't watch the previews because, you know, it spoils an entire episode for him, knew about this.
Yeah, I mean, I like that the show continues to do different things with the friend suggestions. I would point out, you know, dramatically, these 76 suggestions are functionally no different than if it was like, what, these two strangers, wait, they have the same building in the background, Rakesh is going to type, they're both in this building. One is William and one is, you know, kindly lady that lives upstairs or whatever, you know. So it's not that much of kind of a dramatic departure, but it's using this in a different way. It's all good.
It is, and I certainly see that point. I liked the portion of the episode in particular where, unsure of why they had all these people suggested, they're looking for links which led them to the building. You know, oh, here's the background image in so many of their photos. Here's a couple, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can't go full on procedural, but it had some procedural elements and definitely appreciated that. Matt, Rakesh doing this coding here, named at the end of the episode, head of mobile app design. We had tech billionaire Simon Hayes buy Identity Seal out last episode in a, if you can't beat them, buy them. Is this a further ratcheting down on the trouble that's been made for the God account in trying to locate it with, you know, we're going to give our new head of mobile app design some other work to keep him over here. And Miles is going to have to run down tech things on his own.
Nope, Pete. I think it represents the show's sunny optimism that while we are connected as a people, as a country, as a species, there's not this grand conspiracy one way or the other. And I think that the notion that it was like, oh man, the wolves are encircling us at the end of last episode and things are getting figured out, to, you know, nope, Rakesh's good work has been noticed. Some red flags were raised, but they were actually yellow flags because they're looking for people who can do a certain type of skill, and it could be for good or for ill. And you have a guy that works for the company who might be able to do this. So let's turn this into a positive. Again, it's that sunny optimism that the show has, where aside from the Lord above, if we're assuming that there is a godly element and this isn't just, you know, the complete analytics thing kind of acting in place of God. Oh man, Pete, side note, is like the series finale like, there is no God, there is only computer made by man? I doubt that's the case, but I think that this is really just like, you thought it was going to be the big bad guy, and instead it was just, hey, people appreciate you, Rakesh, and you are the, your goodness put into the world, put into the system, put into the account, has yielded that back again.
Points for realism in that Rakesh has to take three different meetings with one new company that now owns his employer. Points off, perhaps, in over dramatizing it. You know, we have the first one, oh, it's a misdirect. We have the second one, and suddenly, ooh, you're in some trouble here. And then we have the third one and the bump up there.
I think that you are right, but it did not occur to me while watching the episode. Now, why is that? I think it's because there is a certain buoyance to the show that does not suggest to you, like, you know, next week, a very special terrorist attack episode. Like, do those things happen? Sure, those things have happened in New York, but that's not the flavor of this show, where it's going to be, you know, looking into the worst of humanity in order to find a glimmer of hope. It's a glimmer of hope every week, and it's the procedure of, sure, this is weird, and we know he's done questionable stuff with an amazing, positive, beautiful outcome each and every single time, but is it, you know, against the terms of service of his contract or things like that? Sure it is, but I think it's slightly built up, but it's because all of the drama, I mean, look, all drama, of course, is always built up, but kind of the drama in this show is a bit heightened, in part because the show does not rely on, I hate you, Dad. Oh man, the Miles Carroll relationship, Pete, they're drinking too much and now that's turned dark. And, you know, which one of these characters is going to be caught buying heroin? Like, none of that kind of stuff can go on. So they juice things up a little bit with extensive interview techniques.
Should we be at all concerned for Rakesh taking on this new responsibility, given the tenor of that second interview?
I think there's the possibility for mistakes to be had. There's the possibility for, in his promotion, where now it's like, gee whiz, Rakesh, well, if anybody ever tries to techity-tech the tech again and hack the system, you let us know. Otherwise, you know, you could be out, buddy. But of course, it would never be you. Oh, man, Miles, I can't help you. You need to come up with another route. I think that it is the show. It's not taking Rakesh away as kind of the tech guru, the Q of James Bond, if you will. But I think that it's the show saying, we're not going to have Rakesh always sit in front of a keyboard, flap his fingers and say, guys, I have the answer that you need right now.
What about Reverend Arthur taking this romance with Trisha to the next level? I get his point about, you know, his job being, you know, his calling, but was it a little too much in getting her to show up?
I think big picture, no. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he's the man's a reverend. He does have a big picture point of view of things, but again, it's kind of one of these things. It only occurred to me in this episode that it's a little cooked up for the dramatic purposes in order to say, oh man, do you understand that I am a man of the cloth and that this is way more important than, you know, selling your dumb old records? Not that he says that, but like, you think that this would have been an earlier discussion, like, you know, and I know he's recently back in the dating world and whatnot, but at a certain point you sit and go, hey, listen, while I've got you, I just want to say, here's how dating me, a reverend, might be a little bit different than other things, you know, whatever those particulars are, whether he wants to play it off as a little bit of like a, you know, you kind of got to come to church because if you're the girlfriend of the pastor, or whether he wants to finger wag or whatever it is, for him to be kind of annoyed that he hasn't spoken up about it and that she should have figured it out. Pete, I did start out by saying that it's a little overly blown dramatic, but I think that my wife might disagree a little bit, so maybe it's written perfectly.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, we have an email from last week from our pal Bob Keeley. I must confess, Pete, here we are. We just got out of the confessional. I must confess, I don't know how I missed his email last week, so my apologies there, Bob. He says, first of all, the show surprises me almost every week. Pete, Bob is, first of all, talking about last week's episode. I saw the sister thing coming, but did not see the little girl with the hearing impairment. Nice one. Bob continues, as I was watching tonight's episode, again, last week's, I thought that they were setting up the rest of season one. It seems, at least it did at about the halfway point, that the search for Henry Chase was going to be the big overarching story for the rest of the season. Although now we have Simon in the mix too. If that is the case, they have to find Henry by the end of the season. They can't let this drag on for another season. You can't set up a big mystery that drives the whole show this much and not resolve it. But they made me wonder, what about season two then? Where could they go with that? One way forward would be that they find Henry, but he is not the whole story for the God account. They likely have to keep the God account active because of the name of the show. So I think they can solve the mystery, but it won't be the whole mystery. Sometimes I envy the British who will create a show like this, have it run one season, then quit. I totally understand the financial reasons to keep it going, but it would be kind of cool to start a story, then finish it. Another fun episode. Thanks again for your work in podcasting it, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Nice words there. The Henry Chase thing, I like that it didn't come up in this episode. You know, Simon Hayes was the name coming out of the last one. We didn't get a big Simon Hayes showing up at Identity Seal reveal. I think that's something we're squirreling away for later. This was a good old-fashioned development episode. We're going to invest in our characters. Okay, Miles and Kara continuing to move forward, albeit slowly. Reverend Arthur getting into this relationship now. Allie out of her relationship, back in a bigger role with her family, and Rakesh moving forward at the company, getting closer to the source here, potentially, of the account. So you keep it within your core characters. You sprinkle in 76 new friend suggestions, and you've got one very, very solid episode of God Friended Me.
I do marvel at how this show works to balance the episodic nature, the serial nature, the fact that, you know, as I said before, they are on the lower end of the scheduling totem pole, though not on the lower end of CBS ratings, just in terms of, hey, good soldier, we need you to be on in 4 episodes in 8 weeks because Grammys, because Super Bowl, because holidays, because this, because that. And sorry, you don't get kind of pride of place in terms of the final 8 episodes and it's appointment viewing. Like, the show's not there yet in terms of the CBS hierarchy. And they seem to just have this formula where some weeks it's a little more this, some weeks it's a little bit more that. If you miss an episode, no big deal, but there is ongoing stuff. Pete, they are one great team.
Absolutely. Put a question, a poll out on Twitter to our team last night, Matt. And my tweet was, Rakesh being recruited for a deal with the devil? Hashtag God friended me. Really close on the results here. 57% say yes. 43% say no. So stay tuned on that one.
Yeah, a good theory to watch. Pete, there also was a tweet I had sent out where I said, Miles needs to read a particular book. This was about halfway through the episode, that being The Little Red Red House and the Great Gray Bridge. Got a reply from the God Friend of Me writer's account that said, just wait, wink, wink, wink. And sure enough, he did read it. It featured in the ending, and it all worked out.
Always keeping us in the concerts of the story, that God Friend of Me writer's account. Matt, not unlike the good people of patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Indeed, Pete, they are behind us all the way. They are our own little great gray bridge, or the little red lighthouse, the little gray bridge, the big gray bridge. I don't know, Pete, but the point is, we are all together here. We're all making it happen, and we are so appreciative of that support from people who visit patreon.com/fantasticgeek. But Pete, the best gift, aside from a bridge that I could sell you, is being able to talk to you on Twitter. How could people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 10,282 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, on Instagram, on Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, while God Friended Me takes a little time away, our pop culture podcast feed will be filled with Runaways, with Punisher, with Star Trek Discovery, and then before you know it, Pete, it'll be a month from now, and we will be back talking more God Friended Me. So with that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final January word.
You can't shack up with the devil and expect God to pay the rent.